This passage from Scripture has a special place in my heart, and it's because of a memory I have. And I remember preaching on this lesson to a group of retirees in Concord, Massachusetts, back when I was a field aid student. And it was a little strange because, you know, here I was this young guy, and here were all these people who had a wealth of experience, and I was expounding on Scripture to them. Hopefully, what I said meant something to them that day, and hopefully I didn't lead anybody astray or turn anybody away from God. But today, I want to return to this lesson, which is the appointed Scripture reading for this first Sunday in Lent. And I've titled the sermon, Argue with Satan. We're not going to argue with Satan today. In fact, one of the things we need to be mindful of is how we can give in to temptation. And here's Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. He's just been baptized, and the first thing he has done, he has retreated into the desert. He has gone to pray, to think, to sort out his thoughts, to clear the decks, and then he would go and do his ministry. Now, in an age when people often rush off to do things, this seems to be rather remarkable because Jesus actually took time to get his affairs in order. And now he goes into the desert, and there's not much there in the wilderness. And who does he have as a companion but Satan? Now, I'm not going to talk about the existence of Satan and whether there's an actual figure of the devil, but the only person who could have experienced these events that day and reported them so that they could be included in the Gospels was Jesus himself. So this clearly was an important story for the early church. And if you look at the various temptations that Jesus experienced, they tell us a lot. The first one has to do with the hunger he experienced. And Satan says, well, you can take this rock and you can turn it into bread. And Jesus says, no. Then he says, well, I'll give you the whole world and you can be in charge of everything. But Jesus says, no thanks. And then, of course, he says, well, from the top of the temple, throw yourself down, and God's angels will save you. And again, Jesus says, I'm not going to test God. Now, what kind of temptations have we experienced in our lives? I suspect none of us have found ourselves offered dominion over all the world's nations at any point in our lives. But power is tempting. And it can be abused, and it can lead people down very dark roads. And as we can see in Ukraine right now, that country is being brought down a very dark road by an invader. And Vladimir Putin has been weaned by the devil and has succumbed to those temptations. Now, I don't want to get too much into geopolitics today, but when we look at the world situation, we can see things that reflect lessons from Scripture. And we know that if we don't heed Scripture, we will go down dark roads. We remember the story of Pharaoh and the 10 plagues and how he led the armies of Egypt to chase the Israelites into the Red Sea. And they passed safely. But we hear how the waters enveloped Pharaoh and all of his armies and chariots, and he brought his people to a very dark place. That lesson was true way back in the distant past, and it is true today. No one's going to ride in on horseback and make all of our problems go away. That's something we all need to do together as a community. And we need to use our wits and our hearts and put them to that work. And that's one of the reasons we have a church, is so we can address some issues and problems in our community. We also have other organizations in town that do that work. We We have Listen, we have The Haven, we have Wise, and other groups that take care of people in need. Those people are our brothers and sisters. They are our neighbors. And they require our attention and our love. Well, maybe we think we don't have enough food on the table. Well, I have to confess, I don't have that problem. I probably have had too much food on the table. And we, as a congregation, have people who all have resources. They have jobs, they've got retirement, social security funds that come in. And you've got food to put on your table every day. And I hope that you give thanks for that. Now, if you look back at this story from Luke, these were people who would have related to this story and the temptation to get that bread. They would have wanted to be able to turn the rock into a loaf because many people didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. And these were people who lived in a country that had been occupied by foreigners, and they needed to scramble to get bread from the earth. And Judea was an arid country. There wasn't much good farmland there. And that was a temptation. Well, you just need a meal. And that's an area where we can help people get food and get something to put on the table. And that is a gift for us. Now, we may say, well, I don't have any money to give, or I don't have any food to share. But guess what? We do. And we had a tremendous contribution of foods during our Super Bowl drive, and was joined in by another congregation that heard we were doing this. And we had people in our church who loaded up the foods to go to the recipients. And guess what? We could do that every day for the rest of the year. And there would still be people in need of food. So we can give up that temptation to get a little bit more for ourselves and try to share some of what we have with those who have less. That is one of the things we should be thinking about and focusing on during Lent. This desire to take care of ourselves and ourselves only. And then there's this idea of being put up on the top of the temple. Maybe you can imagine that you are on top of the church belfry. And, you know, if you throw yourself off the roof of the church, I can't help you. And no divine intervention is going to save you from going splat on the pavement. But that would be testing God. And to not do that is not to say I don't trust in God. God has given you a head, and he's given you a mind. And he's given you the ability to figure out what things you should do and not do. And Jesus was not going to start playing this game to satisfy the opinions of Satan. Now, I was thinking about figures from the media that we could use to depict Satan, and this probably dates me a little bit, but if I were making a movie, I would probably want Peter Cook to play Satan. He's an urbane Englishman. He's tall. He's handsome. He's got a good head of hair. He speaks in a great accent. And he actually played Satan in the movie long ago with Dudley Moore. But I don't think Peter Cook would be the person who would play Satan today. And I think it would be Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean. And part of that says something about how unseriously we take the existence of evil. Satan is not meant to be a laugh line. Satan is not meant to be a gag. Evil is real. And evil is abroad in the land. And the first thing we have to do is recognize it. And then we have to steel ourselves to resist it and to fight it. And to tamp it down. And then we need to do that again and again and again. Temptation is real. And I feel safe saying that everybody here, myself included, has experienced temptation. And we've given into it to some degree or other. And sometimes the price we've had to pay has been steep, and hopefully we've learned something from that. But don't look down your nose at someone else you think has succumbed to temptation, because you will be there too if you have not been. So we are all going to go into the desert for the next few weeks, and it's a spiritual one. And hopefully we'll all take time to pray and to reflect, and we will give up things, and we'll take on actions, and this will help us to prepare for Easter. Easter is a big deal. And I want you to think about that too over the coming weeks. But today we focus on Jesus and how he began his ministry by clearing his decks and getting his head on straight and focusing on what he could do and listening to God and then going forward. So I'm not going to tell us something trite like, let's be like Jesus. Because none of us can be like Jesus. But we can follow his example, and that will be pleasing to God. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for entrusting us with the world around us and help us to care for one another as we care for ourselves. Help us to resist temptation. Help us to stand firm, to do what is right, and to hear your call to a life of righteousness and service. In Jesus' name we pray.